The NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, is brought to you by WynnBET. Sign up using our link and receive a $500 risk-free bet. That's right, $500. And if you send in your first bet slip, you'll get a free t-shirt. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/win for a $500 risk-free bet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNN. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for avid sports bettors, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas is like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure to subscribe to our page so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge is a stock exchange for sports bets, allowing you to buy and sell betting positions like a stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG betting. That's legal in 40 states. Sign up at BetterEdge.com. Promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOREdge.com. Promo code SGP. And finally, we're brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers. They make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at AcePerHead.com/SGP. That's AcePerHead.com/SGP. Welcome to NBA Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Rich Fat Baby McKee, and I'm joined by Zach Swissbank Broner, and we've got Munaf Manji. We don't have a gambling name for you yet, Munaf.
Yeah, we'll have to figure one out.
The gambling
sports
beard.
Sports nerd 824, right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's Munaf's Twitter handle. Is SportsNerd 824. You can follow me at the Ryan McKee and follow Zach at NBA Zach B. We're very excited to be back today on the Locker Room app doing another episode. I hope to hear some picks from you guys or some questions or maybe some trends you've been monitoring over the last few weeks. We've got more and more data every day. I know Munaf's been tracking the two-game miniseries and how those have been going now. We could talk a little bit about that. He wrote an article on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check out sg.pn/Slack for all of our NBA chat, and also sg.pn/NBA picks for all Zach and Munaf and I's picks against the spread. We pick every game against the spread every single day, and it's been a rough season so far, but I am almost back to 500. How do you feel about that, guys?
Yeah, it's been a little rough going here early. Early on, we saw the road underdogs covering, and now we're seeing some of the favorites and home favorites starting to cover a little bit. So I think that's something that we'll have to pay attention to going forward.
Yeah. How are you feeling about your picks, Zach? You starting to get a handle on it?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better, and we got I'm excited. A huge slate tonight, so we have a lot of good games. I'm excited to talk through some of these and hopefully have a good night tonight.
Absolutely. It's 11 games. We're going to go quick, so if you guys have anything you want to throw into a certain game, just request to speak or bring you in, or if I miss you and we got to go back to a game, that's fine, because I'm just going to try to start powering through. Let's start with the Chicago Bulls at the Charlotte Hornets. I'm seeing the Hornets currently favored by 3. I'm seeing a total of 228.5. Both of these teams have been red hot against the spread recently. Charlotte are 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 games, and Chicago are 7-1 against the spread in their last 8 games. Both teams seem to be figuring it out. Is a number of injuries for Chicago that they're still kind of figuring out with COVID, but it looks like Satoransky is going to be back. Otto Porter Jr. is probable. However, Wendell Carter Jr. looks like he might be sitting out. I don't know. I looked at this and immediately just knee jerk thought Charlotte. Why on a short line of 3? Why go away from that? Even though Chicago's been good against the spread and on the road, Zach, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm looking at Charlotte here as well. You see this Bulls team. Third to last in the league in defense right now. So taking out Wendell Carter from the mix too, as you know, starting big, kind of the core of that defense, should be even worse. Hornets coming off a lot of rest here, haven't played, like you said, in 6 days. So I think their offense will have their way here. Maybe looking at a Charlotte team total over here. I don't know about that, but I would lean towards Charlotte minus three as well.
Yeah. Right now I'm seeing public money heavy coming in on the Bulls. I tend to like to, you know, of recent a trend that I've been doing is just kind of fading public money, and that's been working out better for me. Munaf, where are you going with this game?
Yeah, I agree with you guys taking Charlotte here, especially with the rest advantage that they have here. But I think I like the over a little more in this game. You know, both of these teams rank top 10 in 3-point shots made, and they are bottom 7 in the league and allowing 3-point shots made in this game. So, you know, with the sharpshooters that these teams have with Zach LaVine and Kobe White, and then on the Hornets, I mean, you have a whole bunch of guys that can knock down shots. So I think this might turn into a little shootout, and I kind of like the over here.
Yeah, totally agree with Muna. If you look at this Bulls' last 5 games here, I mean, they've all been played, you know, over around 115 per team. So they've definitely been like almost the kings of the East here in their last 5. So
But Charlotte has been a lot better on defense. Terrell just mentioned in
been solid.
They're ninth in defensive efficiency and first in opponents point per game at home, giving up points per game at home to opponents. 9 of their last 13 games have gone under the projected total. But I do like the idea of maybe a Charlotte team total over, since Chicago, like Zach said, since Chicago does not play defense. Anything else, or should we move on?
No, nothing else.
All right. Let's move on to Munaf's Houston Rockets at the Detroit Pistons. I'm currently seeing a spread of the Pistons actually favored by 3. That's a weird spot for the Pistons to be in. They've been the underdog nearly every game this season. I'm seeing a total of 215. Looks like John Wall is still out. Christian Wood is going to be out, so he's going to miss the revenge game for Detroit. Detroit doesn't have any new names on their injury report. Munaf, I'll let you get started since Houston is your team.
Yeah, I got to lean with the Pistons here, especially with Christian Wood being out and John Wall out, and they're just battling injuries right now. Obviously, Victor Oladipo and Eric Gordon have been good so far since those two have started to play together a little bit. But I think Blake Griffin and Jeremy Grant should have their way inside, especially with the lack of big man inside for the Rockets, you know. So I would slightly lean towards Detroit here. And also, I'm going to continue riding that Jeremy Grant player prop. I mean, it's cashed every time I've bet on. I think it's like 5 out of the last 6 for me. So right now his player points prop is at 23.5 points. So that might be something that we want to take a stab at.
Yeah, I bet his points, rebounds, and assists over 31, I think, was the last game, and it crushed it. And so I feel good about that as well. Zach, where are you going with this game?
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's a beast. Big fan of him. So definitely love to see him performing. I like the Pistons here too. I think you know, kind of an encouraging road trip for them just now. Obviously, they only went 1-2, but took the Hawks to overtime. Probably should have won that game. You know, split with the Heat and were competitive in that second game too. So I think this is a good spot for them. Obviously, the Rockets dealing with injuries. Christian Wood out. They've been. I've liked what I've seen from them, but. Feels like a good spot for the Pistons to get a win here.
Yeah. This morning, the public money is heavy on the Rockets, it looks like. Public and sharp money pretty heavy on the Rockets. So maybe see where that goes throughout the day, and maybe this line might move a little bit. I'm saying you can get it at some places at Pistons minus 2.5. Anything else on this game, or should we move on?
Also want to look at Victor Oladipo points prop. I mean, they don't really, especially when you're taking away a scoring guy like Christian Wood. So I think he was averaging almost close to 20 points per game. And in the 2 games that the Rockets got Oladipo, he dropped 32 and 22. And currently I'm seeing his points prop right around 23.5. So that might be something to look at also.
definitely something to look at like that. Yeah, I like how Oladipo's looked in his first two games in Houston. Moving on, we've got the Orlando Magic at Indiana Pacers. Magic are 7-8 against the spread, but they've been kind of in free fall since losing Markelle Fultz, and Fournier has been banged up, although he was back last game, so I imagine he's back this game as well. Indiana Pacers coming off of a tough loss. They are 8-6 currently against the spread. I'm seeing this line at Indiana -4. I'm seeing a total of 217.5. Orlando, I mean, they had a great last-second win with Cole Anthony hitting that buzzer beater, but they're still 1-6 against the spread in the last seven. They didn't cover the spread against Minnesota, but they, you know, even with that buzzer beater, they won. So that was exciting for them. But, yeah, not exciting for people who were betting on them. I got to say, I think – I don't mean to keep taking all favorites, but I am liking the Pacers here.
Yeah, I really like the Pacers here. I locked up Minnesota in that the last game where they lost by one to the Magic, still covered. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Minnesota actually led by 20 points in that game. It kind of took a – they really collapsed down the stretch. It was kind of tough to watch, honestly. But I don't think this Magic team is very good. Obviously, Indiana's going to be missing Miles Turner here, so have to dig a little bit deeper.
He's questionable, right? Might he still play?
It's always seen questionable.
Okay, yeah, I mean, Miles Turner's question might dig a little deeper either way, but I like Indiana home, probably locked territory for me here.
Yeah, I'm not going to see if they're only giving up four. Moonoff, where are you going?
Yeah, I think the question is Miles Turner, but I would still lean with Pacers. I mean, Orlando, they played one of the worst defenses last game against Minnesota, and they only didn't even crack 100 points. And I mean, offensively, I don't know what's going on with Orlando Magic. And even with Miles Turner out, I think there is a certain concern with them giving up points in the paint. Last game against Dallas, the Pacers gave up 68 points inside of the paint without Turner. So I think even without Turner playing Orlando Magic team, that's really bad on offense. I would still lean with the Pacers here, and you might want to take a look at a Sabonis points prop for tonight for the Pacers.
Okay, it looks like the number of tickets coming in are favor of the Pacers, but the money is heavy on the Magic, so probably means a lot of sharp action there looking at the Magic. So something to consider. Anything else, guys, or should we move on to the Nets and Cavs?
No, I mean, I just think this Magic team, I'm not a big fan. I mean, I feel like they are still getting a little bit of respect here. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think because they came out of the gates looking a lot better than anybody expected, but they've already had some big players go down, so they're not even the same team that they were at the beginning of the year. We've got the Brooklyn Nets versus Cleveland Cavaliers rematch. This was a great game the other night, went into double overtime, and then Colin Sexton just really stepped up and looked more Kyrie than Kyrie did. Nets right now are 7-9 against the spread. Cavs are 7-7 against the spread. They just look like a completely different team with Sexton back in the lineup. I'm seeing Brooklyn giving up 7. I'm going to go ahead and keep riding Cleveland here plus the points. I imagine that Brooklyn wins, but I could see them keeping it close again. I'm not sure why they wouldn't. I think the line opened at Nets -10, though, so some money coming in pretty heavy on the Cavs. Moonoff, where are you going with this game?
Yeah, you got to kind of stay with Cleveland, right? I don't think you're going to make that defensive adjustment the Nets need to make over in a night or two. But I think something to keep an eye on is if Kevin Durant plays tonight. I saw an update that he's questionable with an Achilles, or maybe just give him a night off just to have a night off. But the last game, Brooklyn just couldn't get a stop, right? I mean, if you're watching Kyrie Irving on the defensive side of the ball, he's not even putting in any effort. So I think Brooklyn may get the W here, but I don't think they'll cover the big spread on the road. And one of the player props I am looking at for tonight is James Harden on the assist prop. 14, 12, and 12 in the first three games. He still had 12 with Kyrie back last game. So I think he might be handling the point guard duties and letting Kyrie kind of create his own offense off the ball. So that might be something to take a look at.
Absolutely, absolutely. Another prop I would be looking at is Colin Sexton. I'm not sure what his latest points are, but if Darius Garland is out again, then Sexton will take over all the ball handling duties like he did in the last game. And like you mentioned, that Kyrie is just not playing any defense. Zach, where are you going with this game? And then John will bring you right in after Zach gives us his pick.
Yeah, I would probably lean with the Cavs here, too. I think, obviously, staying away right now, KD, they are playing again tomorrow night, so I don't expect KD to play here tonight, but I think it's a stay away for now. I will say, I mean, Steve Nash is a psycho, man. Playing KD and Kyrie and Harden all 48-plus minutes. Harden played 51 minutes. I mean, that just does not make sense to me. They should have gone to the bench a little bit more there. You know, the fact that KD's on the injury report with that Achilles is obviously concerning, and just unnecessary minute load. So hopefully Steve Nash kind of chills out with that. I think it might be a little bit easier for the Nets to find a rhythm with only two of the stars in for now, because, you know, they can play a little bit more my turn, your turn, and it's not as – you don't have to wait as long to get your next possession, kind of, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I like the upside of just Kyrie and Harden playing together without KD, but would hope to get a slightly better line than seven. You know, you want to wait for that injury news to play out.
Okay, cool. John, where are you going with this game, man?
I'm with you on Colin Sexton. I'm going to stay with the hot hand. He, from my book, I have 23.5, so I definitely want to take the over at minus 103. So it's pretty not too shabby. So I am hammering absolutely the Colin Sexton. Stay with the hot hand for me.
Yeah, how many points did he have last game? Like, was it nearly 40?
Yeah, I mean, 42.
Yeah, it was 40. Yeah, because I mean, that was because it went into double overtime. But he still, again, I imagine he'll play more minutes this game than the last. Last was his first back. Anything else on this game, or should we move on?
No, that's all I have.
Okay. I actually think. I mean, I think to finish up the conversation, I think if KD's in, I think this line goes closer to 10, and I like the Cavs. And if KD's out, I think it goes closer to 5 or 4, and I like the Nets.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with that. If KD's announced out, Zach hit the nail right on the head. I'd probably take Brooklyn at that point.
I would be surprised if it goes all the way to 4, even with KD out. I mean, you still got Harden and Kyrie there, which is so two of the better players than anybody the Cavs have on their roster.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what the market does.
All right. Moving on, we've got the Boston Celtics at Philadelphia 76ers. Oh, before we move on to this game, sorry, I missed a chat. Daniel Greer mentioned Kyrie odds boost of 30-plus points at plus 350 on FanDuel. So anybody is a user of the FanDuel book, go ahead and grab that. We've got a rematch here. Philadelphia won in the first matchup here. Tatum, unfortunately, still out. I'm seeing Philadelphia favored by 4.5, a total of 222.5. I like the Celtics here, plus the points to bounce back. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they really had no answer for Joel Embiid in that last game. I think it's a little concerning. It's a really tough matchup for the Celtics right now. I like the Sixers here.
Yeah. Munaf, what you got?
Yeah, I'm leaning with the Celtics here. It seemed like that there was points at the game where, like, Celtics were kind of slowly kind of starting to take over and maybe get the game, but Sixers started coming back and you know, Danny Green hit a couple big shots. Jack Milton was big for them, but the concern for the Celtics is that who's going to be that other scorer for them, right? I mean, you're not going to get 23 points every night from Daniel Tice like they got in the last game, but Kemba Walker shot the ball a little better from the three-point line last game, so that might be worth a look at his three-point shooting props. But the story of this game was in the post where Marcus Smart was kind of saying that Joel Embiid is kind of flailing and flopping to get calls and things like that. So I think that we might get a more motivated Boston group here to make it competitive and possibly beat the Six. The Sixers. So I got to lean with the Celtics here.
Yeah, I will say that the Sixers shot 45 free throws in that matchup the other night. So yeah. Definitely think the referees will be tuned into Joel Embiid in the post and kind of what that looks like tonight.
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown scored 26 points, but he looked to be really struggling in that game. So I imagine he will have a better game tonight because he's been really good overall this season. John, where are you going with this game?
I'm sprinkling like a half a unit on the money line Celtics. I'm seeing plus 155 in my book. I'm not sure what you're seeing, Ryan, on that one, just the money line, the Celtics.
I have the same plus 155.
155. So I'm taking a flyer, like just put a half unit on that game. Otherwise, okay. Really staying away.
Yeah, I am seeing public money pretty heavy on the Celtics right now. So just something to watch throughout the day. Before we move on, this might be a good opportunity, Munaf, to quickly mention your mini game trends that you're seeing these. Two teams going head to head over two nights or three nights with the new schedule fix. Any thoughts on the Celtics 76ers based off of those trends?
So through, I think last night I updated this morning, there've been 13 total series in the Eastern Conference right now. Eight of them have been sweeps on the money line, six by favorites and two by dogs. And the other five have split on the money line. But if we take a look at the spread, what we're more concerned with is that eight of the 13 have split against the spread. So one of the favorites has covered and one of the dogs has covered in the night. So I think if we're going to follow that So eight of the 13 have been sweeps on the spread. So the favorite or the dog has swept, but only five has split against the spread in the 13 series. So that might be something the numbers are favoring the Sixers right now. But one thing I did cap for this game was that possibly want to take a look at Boston in the first half, where Boston is 10-3 against the spread and the Sixers are only 6-9 against the spread in the first half. So if you like Boston, that might be something to look at in the first half for a bet that way.
Great. Good. Okay, and make sure to check out sportsgamingpodcast.com. Click on the NBA tab, and you'll be able to find Munaf's mini game trends or mini series trends going there. He's been updating it, so thanks for that, Munaf. Moving on, we've got the Miami Heat back at the Toronto Raptors, a.k.a. Tampa Bay Raptors. Miami won this matchup earlier this week. Game was 111-102. Miami was getting 4 points in that game. It looks like they're getting 3 points tonight. Raptors still struggling, especially against the spread. They're 4-10 against the spread. Miami has been struggling overall this season. They're still 5-7-1 against the spread. I'm seeing Jimmy Butler out, Myers Leonard out, Tyler Hero questionable, Avery Bradley out, and Dragic is probable as on the Toronto side. Pascal Siakam is questionable tonight. Zach, where are you going with this game?
Yeah, man, I'm having a tough time figuring out this Raptors team. I locked them up in this last matchup and got killed by Kendrick Nunn off the bench. He was 9-12, 4-6 from three, 28 points, 8 boards, so 5 assists too. Great game from him. I will come back to the well with the Raptors here. You know, they need a dub at home here. You know, they got outshot by the Heat in that game. You think from a quality perspective, Kyle Lowry only had 3 points. He was 2-12, so feels like a good bounce back spot here for the Raptors. I will go with them at home. And, you know, obviously this line was Raptors 4.5 in the game that was 2 days ago. And now you're seeing Raptors minus 3. So maybe a little more value here on the home favorite.
Yeah, I hear you. And any thoughts on if Siakam does end up sitting, you think that line will move, or are you going to try to bet it right now? Or are you going to wait and see what happens with Siakam?
I don't think it'll move much if he's in, I guess. So I think you could definitely do well by waiting and maybe get a little bit more value.
Yeah. Munaf, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I'm leaning with the Raptors also. I also took them last game, and just like Zach said, Kendrick Nunn kind of killed him. But more so in this game, I'm looking at taking the Raptors in the first quarter. A little stat that when I was handicapping this game is that off of a loss this season for the Raptors, they have an average winning first quarter margin of +8, and they're averaging 31 points in the first quarter after a loss. So that might be something to kind of look at in this game. And then also maybe a Bam Adebayo rebounding over 10.5 prop.
Ooh, I like that, especially with Toronto struggling in the paint to defend. John, speaking of player props, you got any for this game?
Not at all. I'm staying away. Like, these are the two teams that have been the most frustrating for me this season. Like, every time I touch the Heat, they lose to the Pistons. You know, the Raptors, you know, I can't touch them right now. I'm staying away. So yeah. I haven't even looked at the props on this game just because it just doesn't appeal.
Yeah, I hear that. Last thing I'll mention is it looks like Public and Sharp Money pretty heavy on the Raptors right now, thinking they'll bounce back. They really need a win at home. As Zach mentioned, I'm going to go with that. I also like the Raptors here, but I probably would lean on just staying away altogether. Next game, we've got the Atlanta Hawks at
Brian. One more thing for this Raptors and the game. Both of these teams are top 10 in three-point shooting. You know, Raptors make about 16 a game. Miami's at 13. So we saw that in the last game where they both combined for 34 made threes. You would think that the game would go over, but they only scored 213. So I think that hot shooting might continue tonight. So another play might be looking at the over, and also Kyle Lowry three-point shots made.
I like it. We've got the Atlanta Hawks at the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've already talked about the Timberwolves a little bit after losing that last second game to the Magic, but they did cover. They are covering at a pretty decent rate for as bad as they've been this year without Kat. They're 6-7 against the spread. Atlanta is giving up 6 in Minnesota. I'm seeing a total at 225, and I mean, my knee jerk right now is to go ahead and keep riding Minnesota. I played them against Magic last time, and they were able to cover, even though they've got to be heartbroken after that loss. After Zach mentioned, they were leading at 20 at one point. Seeing Public money pretty heavy on the Timberwolves. Zach, where are you going?
Yeah, this is a sketchy game. These teams obviously played, you know, on Monday. It looks like. In Atlanta won that game by 11. I would probably lean with the Timberwolves as a home dog, but this is definitely a stay away from me. Kind of a weird game for the Timberwolves without Kat. This medium sized dog at home, don't like it either way.
Yeah. Good. I forgot that I just played on the 18th, where the score was 108-97 Atlanta. Munaf, what do you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay with the Hawks here, but as a very slight lean. I think they're finally starting getting into a rhythm here. And Minnesota is one of the worst defenses inside the paint, right? They're giving up 52 points per game inside the paint, and it might be another Clint Capela game where he's able to dominate inside, especially without Karl Anthony Towns. But another lean that I have for this game is Atlanta first half against the spread. They're 9-4-1. Against the spread in the first half, and Timberwolves are 4-9 against the spread, so that might be something to also consider for your bets tonight.
Nice. John, you got anything?
Yeah, no, I was definitely leaning, so I want to stay true to Atlanta probably today on this one. And the fact that did you say the money was probably geared more towards the Timberwolves? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's pretty heavy on the Timberwolves right now.
I got you. So that makes me even more, you know, confident about going with probably the Hawks here tonight then.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing that this line opened at Hawks -4.5 and it's moved to -6, so something to consider. That line might keep moving. I don't know. Not really waiting on anybody else for injury reports to come in. Okay, so we've got the Dallas Mavericks traveling to San Antonio Spurs. Mavericks right now 8-6 against the spread. Spurs 9-6 against the spread. I am seeing Dallas -2. So we've got San Antonio as a home dog. We've got a total of 223. Dallas has started heating up after a rough start. They're 6-2 against the spread in their last 8. And San Antonio are 6-3 straight up in their last 9 games. So both teams playing well. Dallas still missing Dwight Powell, Josh Richardson, Finney-Smith, and Kleber. San Antonio still has White out. Munafo, get started with you. Who do you like in this game?
Yeah, I'd lean towards the Spurs here a little bit as a home dog. Yeah, Dallas got the win last game against the Pacers, but they just dominated inside in the paint. I think they had, I want to say they had 68 points inside the paint, but this is a good Spurs team, right? They have a lot of talent with DeMar DeRozan, Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray's been playing well. Johnson's been good for them also. So I think if there's a way that Pop can slow down Luka, this might be a good spot for the Spurs. But yeah, with since Jalen Brunson's been back for them, I think he's been helping with the scoring load. So his player points prop right now is at 13. So I really like that over on Jalen Brunson tonight.
Nice. It's a good player prop to look at. I am seeing that the sharp money, very heavy on the Spurs right now. Public tickets are coming in on the Mavericks. Zach, what do you got? Zach, you there?
Yeah, sorry. I just got a phone call. I hope it didn't come through.
No, we didn't
hear. All right, good. I like the Spurs here as a home dog. You know, the Spurs, I think, are 6-3 as a home dog this year. Like the matchup for them. A lot of bodies to throw at this Mavericks pick and roll. Munaf, let me know what you think. I would also lean under here. You know, both these teams have been good to the under this year and kind of a familiar matchup. Two teams that are on the top end of defense. I could see this one being a dog in the under here.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say that the total of the San Antonio's last 5 games, 4 of has gone under. So that's probably a good thing to look at. Munaf, what are you thinking?
Yeah, initially when I saw this line, I also agree with Zach, was that it was too many points for this team, or for these two teams, especially with them being division rivals and having that familiarity with each other. So, yeah, I would also I like that under also with the Spurs, maybe a little – small little parlay you could put together if you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. John, you got anything?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Spurs on this one. They're at home, so I lean toward the Spurs. And, I don't have any props on this game, so just riding with the Spurs.
Okay. Looks like we all like the Spurs, and Zach mentioned the look at the under here. Moving on, we have 3 games left. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around and listening to our picks. If anybody wants to join in and throw out any picks, go ahead and just request to speak. We'd love to hear from you. I am seeing a pick in the chat. Boofer T. Justice likes the under on Dallas San Antonio also, and he looks like the under on Atlanta Minnesota as well. Thanks for that, Boofer. Moving on, we got Oklahoma City Thunder at the Los Angeles Clipers. Thunder 7-6 against the spread. Clippers 9-6 against the spread. Wow, this is a big line. I'm seeing the Clippers favored by 13.5, a total of 219.5. Zach, are you going to fade the Clippers here?
I mean, they've been a wagon recently, low-key. You know, back-to-back-to-back, double-digit wins for them. Offense looks really good. Biggest spread on the board. I have a tough time taking it. I mean, I would probably lean to OKC here, but there's definitely better targets to pick at. Yeah, I mean, this OKC team, they've been kind of on and off competitive. Obviously, at 6-7, good for them. 5-2 on the road somehow. So I would lean towards OKC here.
Okay. Does it matter if Horford is out? It looks like he is going to definitely be out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of plays into this big number, obviously.
Yeah.
Munaf,
what do you got?
This line came out to right where I thought would be, especially with my spreadsheet, right at 13. So I think this might be I think you wouldn't have mentioned that it was an SGA, maybe a revenge game since he was traded for, I think it was a Paul George trade that he was got traded in.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I'd circled his points prop for tonight around 18 and a half, 19 points on the over. So, you know, he might, you know, get the guys to go out and play hard for him and maybe be a revenge spot for him. So I would lean towards the Thunder, but like Zach said, I mean, this Clippers team hasn't been absolutely rolling right now, and Paul George has just been playing out of his mind.
Yeah, I have a hard time betting against the Clippers here, even giving up that many points. But I hear you. I hear you. John, you got a lean for this game?
I am all over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I am, just like Jeremy Grant, I love betting SGA's total points, rebounds, assists. Right now I'm seeing 29.5. With that revenge factor, which I wasn't even thinking about, I love betting the over, minus 120 right now. So, yeah, I'm hammering that one.
Yeah, any concern the way that they looked the other night against the Nuggets? I think SGA ended up scoring 14 points.
You're right about that, but shoot, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah.
No, I mean, maybe it's a good bounce back game for him. I was just, I just, it stood out to me because I had bet him on Tuesday to go over his points total.
And, but I love that him and Jeremy Grant. It's just more of like a blind bet. I love it. So.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, maybe it's a good bounce back bet for him. And as I've mentioned, it is could be a revenge game for him. Anything else in this game? Or should we move on? Okay. Go ahead, Manif.
No, you're good.
Let's go to Zach's New York Knicks at the Sacramento Kings. We've got a total of 218.5. Sacramento is favored by 4. Zach, I'll let you get started, and then we'll get Terrell in here because I know he's a Knicks fan as well. But, Zach, where are you going with this?
Yeah, big time dub for the Knicks last night. Obviously, blowing out Golden State. That was very fun. I know the Draymond Green ejection got some play on Twitter last night. Yeah, I would have to lean with the Knicks here. I mean, second
worried night about back-to-back at all?
Yeah, it's second night of back-to-back, but you know they've been playing to a very solid level this year. Obviously, 8-8. You know, for now, this is not a bad basketball team whatsoever. Only catching a half a point less than in Golden State last night. Obviously won that game outright. Looking over to the Kings side of things, they've obviously been in free fall on the defensive end, and that kind of allows the Knicks to, you know, it allows the Knicks to get by with their biggest weakness, which is their ability to score the ball easily. So I think the Knicks defense here obviously will continue to play well. It's been one of the best defenses in the NBA, and their offense should have some of the pressure taken off it by how bad this Kings defense can be. So I like the matchup for New York here. I think +4 is a good number.
Yeah. You mentioned how good the New York defense has been. The under has gone, has hit in 10 of their last 13 games, whereas Sacramento, you kind of just blindly bet the over since they've been giving up so many points. Sacramento is 1-9 against the spread in the last 10 games. I do like New York as well here. Terrell, where you got?
All right. You know, this is the time I've been waiting for. man, look, the Knicks are playing good ball. I wanted to go Sacramento so bad before I came up here. I was sitting here going through my notes. I'm like, I want to tell these guys Sacramento. They're just hyping the Knicks too much. They're getting too much hype. But it just doesn't make sense here, guys. It just doesn't – I don't see it. So as he was talking about the back-to-back, the Knicks are 2-1 ATS and straight up on the back-to-back this season. with no rest. They're 66% to the under in the back-to-back 2-1 on that side. I know it's a small sample size, but the Knicks are first in defensive efficiency, first points per game. So they're playing – Tibbs got these boys playing well. Like, they got them playing good basketball. And then I just think the Kings are just in, like you said, a complete free fall. So far to this season, the Kings have played four teams that are top 10 in defense, the Clippers twice and the Phoenix twice. In none of those games, they've scored over 106 points. The under has hit in three of those four games. So they're 3-1 in the under against a team that actually plays defense. So I wanted to sit here and tell you guys the Kings. I wanted to say fade the Knicks. Like, they're going to let us down again. They got a really big win yesterday, but I just don't see it, guys. I got the Knicks in the spread. I'll put a half a unit on the Knicks on the money line and play the under. The under is the lowest Kings under this season, 218.5. But however, if you look at those four games that they played, that under would have been 3-1. So don't be afraid of the extremely low under. I just don't think this Kings team has it going. Buddy Hill can't shoot the ball. Harrison Barnes has proven that his agent is the greatest agent of all time for somehow getting him paid constantly. And so I'm looking to keep my streak going. I'm seven straight picks with the Knicks right now. So I'm taking the Knicks spread tonight, guys.
Nice. Thanks. That's a lot.
Let's go Knicks, bro. Together.
Yeah. Yeah. Munaf, where are you going?
I think Terrell hit a lot of the points right on the head. I mean, I think the story for me in this game is going to be what's going to happen inside the paint, right? So Sacramento right now is dead last in points allowed in the paint. They're allowing 52 points in the paint. New York is number 11 in points inside the paint. That's 47. So that might be the story there. And then also the three-point shooting this game. New York is a sixth-best defense against three-point shooters, and Sacramento is surprisingly ranked number 24 with 11.7 makes per game. So the back-to-back was a little concerning, but most of these guys on New York are young guys, so you won't have dead legs. And over the last three games, defensive efficiency-wise, I mean, New York is ranked the worst over the last – sorry, Sacramento is the worst ranked in the last three games at 1.248. And I think I'm going to continue to take the Knicks here tonight, and also Julius Randle points prop inside. I think he might be able to eat it up tonight. He might post a triple-double. He might get 30-plus points tonight, so that's something to look at for this game.
To also add on to that, I forgot one more play I have. They have the Kings team total. I see it set at 111.5, so I'm taking the under on that, under 112, so under 11.5. I don't think the Kings get it going tonight. They're just free-falling. If you just look at basketball and just how these guys are playing – I know last time I came up here talking about RJ Barrett's got to take that next step, and he's literally hurt me and did that this entire time since I said that. He's putting up monster numbers. I haven't seen RJ's props anymore, but last night I got it for 17.5, so for points total. So that's just absolutely ridiculous. There's no reason RJ should be under 20.5 points anymore for the rest of the season. So, yeah, man, I like the way this Knicks team is playing ball. I don't like how Bagley or anybody in the Kings is just – they're just free-falling. I don't think they got it together at all.
Yeah. John, you got any leans on a player prop or any other
things here? I am going with the under here. New York is holding teams under 103, like 102.8, and they're limiting teams to like 43% shooting from the field. So I am heavy on the under here. Those numbers got to be tops in the league. So I love that under.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's move on to our final game of the night. It's a big premier matchup of the Denver Nuggets at the Phoenix Suns. Denver Nuggets still 5-9 right now against the spread, whereas the Suns are 8-5 against the spread. Phoenix is favored by 2 points. I'm seeing a total of 2 20. I mean, I hate to be a homer. I'm from Phoenix originally. I'm going to stick with the Suns here, especially after a great win against the Rockets on Wednesday night, whereas Zach and Munaf both took the Rockets. I stuck with the Suns, and thank you very much for that cashed.
Come on, Zach. By half a point.
I know.
Hey, money is money. Cashing is cashing. Covering is covering, guys. Zach, where are you going?
Yeah, I would probably lean to Phoenix here. I think this can be – this is the ESPN game, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, so pumped up for this one. Yeah, Suns come back home after, I think, what, 5-6 on the road here?
Yeah.
Yeah, five on the road with some postponements. I think Denver is kind of – they're treading water. I really think Michael Porter Jr. Was kind of – his absence, I think, has made – this team realize how important he is. So I think it might actually be a long-term benefit just to kind of, you know, when he comes back, I think he will kind of assert himself more as a focal piece over these other pieces that haven't filled the void in the meantime. So
he is
kind
of upgraded. He was upgraded to questionable for tonight.
Huh. Okay. Well, yeah. if he's back, that would be very interesting. I would definitely take the Suns at this current line, but That would be fascinating to see if Porter comes back, because it's just interesting, you know, Harris, Barton, Paul Millsap, even all these guys have had the opportunity to sort of prove that they can do what Porter Jr. does, which is kind of the tension of this Nuggets team, right? You have these, like, you know, veterans who have kind of built up the culture with Porter Jr., who came in as kind of the hot young star, but they've struggled without him, so looking forward to seeing him back and this Nuggets team kind of get back to their chasing their ceiling. But I like the Suns here, -1.5 for tonight.
Yeah. Munaf, where you got for this game?
Yeah, I was honestly just going to get your opinion on from you and Zach on this game, because you guys are the fans. But I thought this line was right where it needed to be. And I think it's just going to come down to one possession tonight. I know they played back on January 1st on New Year's Day, and Phoenix got that win by 3 points. So, this is one of those games, one of the series where it's going to be a back-to-back situation where they play tonight and tomorrow night. So, whichever team wins tonight, I think I'll take the other team tomorrow night. So that might be something to keep your eye on. But if I had a pick right now, I'd probably stick with you guys with Phoenix tonight.
Yeah. One thing I should mention is that Phoenix, this is their third game in a row where they are missing three of their big men, Jalen Smith, Saric, and Jones. So it's going to be all up to DeAndre Ayton to take on the Joker tonight. Joker could go off. I mean, Ayton has been good on defense, but, you know, he's still young, makes a lot of mistakes, and, you know, Joker could really exploit that especially if Ayton gets in foul trouble quickly, which has also been a problem for him early in the season. John, you got anything here?
Yeah, I've got the props here. My favorite prop of the night is DeAndre Ayton over 10.5 rebounds. His last five games, he's notched 13 rebounds, 14. He had like 6 against Washington, but 16 and 17 back-to-back games the last two games. So I'm taking that 10 over 10.5, and it's right now it's at -116 for over 10.5. So I will gladly lay that juice for.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, I like that. I do think Ayton will give out a play, but again, if he might get into, I would just worry about him getting into foul trouble against Jokic.
Jokic, yeah, no, I feel you.
Terrell, you got anything on this game?
Can you hear me? I got a call coming through.
Yeah.
I don't know if it cut off.
No worries. Oh, you got a call.
Yeah, no, but I lean Nuggets this game. It's tough because Phoenix, like I was just talking about defensive efficiency, the Knicks are up there. Phoenix is right up there with them. So it's tough, but I think Jokic and Jamal Murray lead the way this way, and it's Nuggets. I'll take the Nuggets on the money line, actually.
Nice. Okay, guys. Well, I got to get out of here, but thank you so much for everybody for sticking around and listening to all of our previews of each game and our picks. You can check out all of Moonoff, Zach, and I's Against the Spread picks at sg.pn/NBA picks. Also, subscribe to NBA Gambling Podcast. I'll be posting the audio from this locker room up there a little later this afternoon. And best of luck with all your picks tonight and this weekend.
Yeah, KD is ruled out for tonight, just so everyone knows. Yeah, just pass through.
Oh, I love the Nets. If one of the three is out, I love them. As a matter of fact, I'll take them on the spread.
Did the line move, Zach?
They just pulled it off.
It's down right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something to watch for sure. All right. Yep. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. All right.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.